a reward. Abu Lahab said, Tabbar laka sa'ir al-yawm. Ali hadha jama'atana. Abu Lahab said, may Allah, may you perish for the rest of the day. Is this why you called us? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. May Abi Lahab perish. And by the way, this surah is a miracle in the Quran. Because it is saying, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Ma'alakana anhu ma'alum wa tab. Sayasla na'ala la Lahab. The surah says that Abu Lahab is going to be in hellfire. And this was during the life of Abu Lahab. If Abu Lahab wanted to prove Islam wrong, he could have said, I'm a believer, I'm a Muslim. How can the Quran say that I am going to hellfire? But he remained on kufr until the end of his life. So this surah in itself is a miracle of the miracles of the Quran. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah ta'ala. قال أما ربكما يا موسى فرعون asked موسى and said who is your lord موسى he told him إن رسول ربك we are the messengers of your lord so when موسى and هارون were giving فرعون دعوة he told him we are sent by your lord he is your lord فرعون did not want to accept that and he says, who is your Lord? He's yours. So tell me about him. Musa responded and said, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى Allah is the one who gave every creation its form. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them, provided them with guidance. Musa is turning the attention of Fir'aun to the creation. And that's something that Quran does always. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to the sun, the moon, the oceans, the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always turning our attention to the creation. Why? Because the creation is a mirror of some of the attributes of the Creator. By looking at the creation, you can know the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the creation, you know that Allah is the creator. When you look at how all of the creation are living, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Razzaq. And so on and so forth. So Musa told Fir'aun, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى Allah gave every creation its form. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with guidance. Every creation has a form suitable for the role it's going to play and for its survival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped every creature with a body, with characteristics that would fit the environment this creation is living in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with guidance. And the guidance over here does not mean the guidance of religion, but it means the guidance that Ibn Abbas says, Hadahum. إِلَى الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ وَالْجِمَاعِ Allah has guided all of the creation to food and reproduction. So every creation knows how to survive and live in dunya. And how did they know? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look for example at the infant, the human infant, when it's first born. It doesn't know how to do anything, but it knows how to suck milk. It knows how to feed itself. This is an instinct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, it's guidance, it's huda. It's huda which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in this instinct that has zero memory, nothing in the brain, it's empty. It only knows how to suckle the milk from the breast of the mother. That is huda from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَ Allah has given every being its form. In the ants, communities. The ants, they divide into different sections. You have the queen, and then you have workers, and you have servants, and you have soldiers. There's a particular group of ants, a very small number of ants. Their role is dormant. They guard the gates to the ant village. The opening to the village is very small. It's barely enough for one ant to come in. And that is done for security reasons. They don't make the opening very large because then the enemies, predators, could creep in. So So the opening verse was, where do not for one ant to go in? These doormen, their role is to guard the gates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped them with heads that are enlarged. So the head is as big as the door. So they stick their head and they block the entrance. And they don't allow any ant to come in except if it gives them the password. Otherwise they cannot go in. And the color of the head is similar to the color of the surroundings, so it can be, the gate can be camouflaged. If there is an enemy passing by, it won't even recognize that there's an entrance over here, because the color of the head is the same as the color of the surroundings. Now, tell me, how can the evolutionists explain this? The ones who propagate the theory of evolution. How can they explain this fact? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given that particular ant a bigger head so that it can play that role. Something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that ant its form. And then you have, there's another type of ant that lives in the desert. The desert is a very tough environment. When the ant leaves from its village and goes in search for food, sand dunes and the desert, you know, there's no milestones in the desert. It's all sand. It all looks the same. So the ant could get lost. And if it gets lost, it can die very fast in the hot sun. So how does it know the direction back to its village? This ant, it travels, and whenever it takes a few steps, it looks back at the sun. And it could go in a crooked path, turn right and left, but whenever it moves, it looks back to the sun. And it records its position according to the position of the sun. And it records it all in its memory. It has a navigation tool given to it by Allah. If it goes 5 steps to the right, it would look back to the sun and record the coordination. And then it takes 5 steps to the left, it will look back to the sun and make sure of the position. Now, where it wants to go back, it has all of that information recorded in its memory. So it can go back. But not only is it able to go back, but it is able to calculate the shortest route back. So it doesn't have to follow the same path it came from, but it has the ability, through processing the information in a small brain, of calculating the shortest distance back to the village, and it goes in a straight line back. Who gave it that navigation tool? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bees, when they're extracting honey, the honey comes out with a high percentage of water. If it is left that way, then it will spoil and rot. You know, when people want to make alcohol, when they want to make an alcoholic drink out of honey, what do? They add water to it. If you add water to honey, then it can go through the fermentation process and becomes alcoholic. So the bee would put the honey in the cell, and it would dry the honey by moving its wings like a fan. It would blow the honey until it reaches to the exact concentration needed, and when it reaches to that concentration, this honey can stay for 1 million years and won't change. And they have found in the chambers of Fir'aun, in the pyramid, they have found jars of honey that have been left with Fir'aun when he died, and they did not change until this day. How did that bee know the exact percentage of water that should be in the honey for it to stay permanently and not rot? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the bees, they have to control the temperature of the cells if they want the bees to survive. And how do they do that? If it is hot season, then they would move their wings like fans over these small larvae or the eggs of the bees. That's if it's hot season. If it's in the cold season, then they would put their bodies over the cellar and provide it with heat. If it is too hot, if the environment is too hot, then they would bring drops of water, and they would move their wings next to the water, so it would provide cooling. The liquid itself would provide cooling for the rest of the cell. You know, all of these things, we could go on and on and on in this miraculous world of insects. There's a certain type of insect. It looks like a dragonfly, but it's not a dragonfly. I forgot the name of it. It has two claws, like the claws of a lobster. It's very long. Anybody knows the name of it? What is it? No, not the scorpion. The mantle? Yeah. Brain mantle? Brain? Like brain? B-R-A-I-N?
Prey mantle.
In the reproduction of this prey mantle, something amazing happens. And this is a proof against the theory of evolution. When the male is having intercourse with the female becomes very hungry. She becomes very hungry. What does she do? She starts eating the male. She starts by chewing off his chest. And the male is continuing in the reproduction process. And then, after she eats the chest, she moves on to the head. So by the time the male is done, he's already dead. Now, how can the evolutionists explain this? They say survival for the fittest. Well, this guy is killing himself. He's chewed off until he dies. This must be a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this insect that you have to do this if you want your species to continue. It is a wahi from Allah, because who would want to throw himself to death, kill himself, unless it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is with the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هداه. It's coming from Allah. And about that, we could go on and on and on in this world of insects and animals and plants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in these worlds, different worlds, signs for us. آيات لأولي الألباب. These are signs for people of understanding. And Musa tried to convey this to Fir'aun, and then he mentioned in a few other ayat some of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هداه. صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, قال من ربكما يا موسى؟ قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هداه. الله سبحانه وتعالى says that Fir'aun asked Musa, who is your Lord? Musa said, Allah, our Lord, is the one who gave every creation its form and then guided it. And we said that Ibn Abbas mentions that guiding over here means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided every creation to their feeding and their reproduction. And we talked last morning about an example of reproduction from the prey mantle. We could talk now about an example or two about feeding, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided animals to feeding. Yesterday we talked about insects, this morning we'll talk about the creation of the sea. There's a type of fish that lives in the Amazon rivers, freshwater fish. And these rivers, which go through the Amazon, if you've seen photos of them, the trees are right over the rivers, and some of the branches are in the river, and almost the river is covered with these branches. And there's a lot of insects that live in these trees and feed on them. Now, there's a type of fish that lives on these insects. But the problem is that the insects are not in the water. So how can the fish hunt? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hada. Allah has given this fish hidayah, guidance, on how to feed.
this fish has the ability to aim and shoot at its target. And that's how it feeds. Now, how does it aim and how does it shoot? It takes a drop of water in its mouth and it aims with its eyes at the target. And we're talking about a small target, an insect, fly, maybe. And this fish shoots out a bullet, a drop of air, shoots it out straight, and it strikes the target, and then you would see the insect falling down in the water, disoriented, because of the shock of this drop of water. It's like a water gun. And this fish is called archer fish. It has this ability of, and it shoots for quite a distance, I mean a few feet in the air. And I've seen this fish, and I've seen it, and we dropped on a mock target on it, and it did shoot at a few drops of water. And it fires up the machine gun. It's not one shot, but it's a few shots, consecutive shots. Three or four or five drops of water, bullets shot in the air, and it hits the fly and completely throws it off the branch, and it just tumbles down in the water. And it's taken as a meal. This is an example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding this fish to its particular feeding. Now, with larger fish, like tuna fish for example, they feed on sardines or anchovies, and the small fish have more resilience and flexibility in maneuvering, so they could outmaneuver the larger fish. Therefore, this larger fish, they have been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hunt in congregation, in teams. And if you've seen how that happens, it's also amazing. These larger fish, they move in schools, and then they make a big circle around the school of sardine or anchovies. So they have the larger fish are in a circle beneath the school of smaller fish. And then these larger fish, what they do is they close in on the school of anchovies from beneath. The result is that the school of small fish will bundle together and would rise up because the bigger fish are beneath them. And they would continue pushing them up and up and up until they reach the ceiling, which is the surface of the water. They could go nowhere then. So when that happens, when the small fish hit the roof, the ceiling, which is the surface of the water, these larger fish, they close in on them, and they come closer and closer. You see that the small fish, they make a ball. It looks exactly like a ball. And this ball is rotating frantically and moving very fast, spinning around. Why? Because every sardine or anchovy does not want to be on the outside of the ball, because that's where it's more risky. They want to be in the inside. So all of them are going inside, but then they all meet inside, some of them are now outside. So the other ones outside come in. And you see this ball moving frantically. All of the fish are moving with a very, very high speed. What that happens, it does two things. First of all, it shows the big fish which fish are weak. Because if there's any fish that is weak or injured, it won't be able to join in this fast movement, so it will be alone. Or if there's any fish, small fish that is arrogant enough and doesn't want to be with the group and it's left alone, that fish is gone. And with this fast movement, the weaker fish, they become tired. And they fall out from this group, this ball which is moving. And they are taken as a meal. Now, fishermen, whoever of you go fishing for surface fish, they call this boiling water. Because you see the small fish jumping up and down in the water, it looks like the water is boiling. Now, this is teamwork. It's very coordinated teamwork. Because one of the large fish, they make this big circle. Then they attack one on one. So, one big fish would strike at this ball, take its meal, come out, take its place, and another big fish will go in. They all work together in a team. How did they learn to do that? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given this guidance. And we could go on and on and on talking about examples from all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided them to the rizq. By the way, when this happens, when the fish are pushed to the surface, then the birds come in. And that's, by the way, also how fishermen find this little for us, it's a guidance for us. The fishermen, they know that there's some big fish beneath the circle, not by the fish finder or by the radar. They didn't have that a long time ago. They know it by the birds in the sky. When they see birds, they know that there's something going on. Because the small fish is there, and if there's small fish, there's larger fish beneath it. And that's how they fish. So it's guidance for us, too. Had done a lot of it in back in a certain African country, they learned something interesting about hunting for, fishing for a certain type of small fish. They would go out in a certain season in the year. They would go out in a certain season in the year to the beach. And they would have with them sticks and buckets. Now they would beat the water with their sticks. They would just beat the water. You find the whole tribe are on the beach and they're beating the water with their sticks. That sound attracts a certain type of fish. And the fish just come in. They come in and the people just pick it up with their buckets. It comes right there when it hears the sound of the sticks hitting the water, it just comes in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown this particular tribe how to get their Fir'aun said, فَارَكَ مَا بَانَ قُرُونَ الْأُولَى. What about the generations of old? Because Musa is telling him that this religion that I'm sent with is the truth. Fir'aun is asking Musa and telling him, what about the generations of old? The people who used to live in our land, the old generations, they didn't believe in this religion of yours. What's going to happen to them? Are you going to say that they're all in hellfire? Fir'aun is following the logic of, if everybody else is doing it, this must be right. He's saying, if all the people are not Muslims, if all the people are disbelievers, that means that what they are doing must be right, and you are coming up with an innovation, coming up with something new. And that's a flawed line of thought, it's a false logic, because what the masses is doing has nothing to prove if the thing is right or wrong. If everyone is doing something, that's no proof that that thing is right. In fact, many of the times, only a minority would do the right thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَلِيلًا مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. Only a few of my servants are grateful. There was one man who was making dua, and Umar ibn al-Khattab heard him. He said, اللهم اجعلني من القليل. Oh Allah, make me of the few. Umar ibn al-Khattab told him, why are you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you of the few? What do you mean by that? He said, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, only a few of my servants, only a minority or a few of my servants are grateful. I want to be of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa la akthar al-nasi. Most of the people will not be believers even if you want them to be so. So what the mass is doing has no, is no proof of truth at all. Truth is truth. Doesn't matter if people are following it or not. Unfortunately, we always fall trap to mass way of thinking. If the people are thinking in a certain way, we just follow the flow. Because we're social beings, we don't want to go contrary to the flow. But the truth is independent. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to it. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. صلى الله عليه وسلم.